we're going to talk about navigating negativity, a pattern of negativity. And this is kind of an intriguing topic because we hear all the time from our clients that, you know, I've got this person and they just won't engage, or this person's constantly coming back with reasons that something can't get done, and they want to know how to navigate it. And too often, I think we look at the black swan skills as for use in a single conversation or use in maybe a longer term negotiation. But when we talk about overcoming negatives, when we talk about diffusing negatives or overcoming obstacles, it seems like that does the job, right? You've diffused the negatives either with accusations audits before you even start talking, or you've labeled negatives and diffused them in your counterpart's mind, because we all know that unaddressed negatives never die. There are going to be an obstacle in your counterpart's mind. They're going to be an issue that needs to be resolved before you guys can get to a good lucrative deal. Whatever it is, you got to address the negatives. And we think sometimes that we've addressed these negatives, things went really well, maybe we even got to an agreement, so things are rosy. Then the next time you meet with that person, or the next communication from that person, is a negative again. And you have to overcome that. And it starts into a pattern with certain people where literally everything that you try, they meet with a no. They meet with some sort of negative outlook on how things are going to go. These people can be draining. They are energy vampires, because nothing you ever say is going to be good enough. Nothing you ever do is going to resonate with them the first time. They always have to be convinced. Working for the government for a bunch of years, I can tell you these people exist at all levels. But I think we were talking before the show, we saw it a lot as leaders in any kind of leadership role. You have those people, those subordinates, that they are either irritated about their job, they're mad about not getting a promotion, whatever it is, or they're just burned out from a whole lot of work. And those people meet everything with that negative. So how do you navigate that? How do you work through that? I will tell you from my perspective, and I'll have Marcella and Troy tell you the truth after I'm done. But from my perspective, the biggest obstacle you face in navigating that pattern is not staying in the moment and trusting the process. Because you work and work and work, and you get over the negatives, you diffuse the negatives, you get to this goal, or you're exercising your genuine curiosity and you're demonstrating tactical empathy. You're building toward that trust-based influence. You're doing all the right things, and you are constantly having to throw up hands to block all the negativity coming back at each new topic. So stay in the moment. Stay in your seat. Do self-labels. It feels like this person's pushing my buttons again. It seems like nothing's going to make them happy. That's something you say to yourself, and if for no other reason than telling somebody, it seems like you're just never going to be happy, probably isn't the best label. That's driving a point or driving a conversation. But stay in the moment with yourself. Trust the process and know that no matter how pervasive the negativity is with a certain person or a certain group or a certain organization, the same foundations for those negatives hold true, whether individual or not. And that is, there's a fear of loss somewhere, because we know fear is the single biggest driver of human decision-making and behavior. So there's a fear of loss somewhere, or there's some negative emotions that are not being addressed. And remember, I know I've heard this from Chris, from Derek, from Troy, from Sandy, from Marcella. Remember, other people are not giving the other side what we are giving them with the Black Swan skills. They are not getting it home. They're not getting it at work. They're not getting it, period. And that's causing this constant negativity. And they might take it on as a personality trait. And you might be fighting it to some extent every time. But as you use the skills, you're diffusing those negative emotions in the present, And you're also setting kind of a building foundation for not so many negative emotions carry over into your next conversation and your next conversation. You just have to keep working at it. So trust the process. Stay in the moment. It's going to work. It's some people just take a lot more effort and know they'll probably get the promotion before you. No, I'm just kidding. But they take a lot more effort and a lot more emotional intelligence on our part to stay in our seat and treat them the way they need to be treated. Marcella?
Yeah. We have to remember the whole point of tactical empathy. Negative people who are continuously negative are extremely draining. If we're doing it, we have to remember that we're doing it to build trust, particularly in, you talked about leadership scenarios. Your objective is to collaborate with this person. They might be just a negative person. That might just be how they present on an ongoing basis. Do they trust you? Will they continue to work with you? Will they do what the team needs? It's more likely to be yes if they feel that the trust is there. And so if you write them off or kind of blow steam at them, they're going to be more cynical towards you. And that collaboration will be harder to get. So just remember that if you can stay in your seat and, like you said, self-label yourself, but then remember what the objective is, which is building trust and stay in the moment. Continue to apply tactical empathy. They'll eventually see that, and that's where reciprocity comes back. That's where the person, he or she, shows up when you never thought they would or when you needed someone, because it's you on the other side. They might still be negative, but the trust is what really you're putting the efforts towards.
That's excellent. Troy, you got something to add, it looks like.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You stop and think about it, and we always say get curious. That's me by nature. I get curious, what is causing them to be such a negative person? And we always say, oh, that's just who they are. And what's the why behind the behavior? Start looking for that. You know, you guys know that I'm a reserve deputy chief on the other side of the house, and I have one of those guys. Everything we talk about is always negative. That's not going to work. Why do we have to do that? Who chose this day? And I always start off by saying, man, sounds like you had a better day in mind. Well, no, but I just don't know why they chose that day. Would you be against thinking about a day that you think might work better and getting back to me? And I always put them in a position where he has to help make the decision. And it's gotten so funny that now when we have a meeting, he's the first one who'll come up and go, hey, how you doing, Chief?
All of a sudden, Troy, I've lost sound with you, Troy. I don't know what happened. I'm sure Troy's saying something very profound.
So it used to be a negative and everybody's accepted it, that he took ownership of it. And because he's taking ownership of it, he it's like a badge of honor to him. And then I come along and I give him a challenge by saying, hey, come up with an idea. And he does. And then people go, oh, man, that was great. Or we go to an event and they see the response. And you could tell that he feels proud that it was his idea. Mm-hmm. And so now when he comes around, he's always like, hey, Chief, I got something for you. I said, okay, let's talk.
That's a very good strategy, because it sparked a thought in my mind. You know, we all talk about the black swan skills, and I think for me, at least, too often I look for myself in other people. And so when I'm talking to them, using the black swan skills, demonstrating tactical empathy, staying curious, I expect that reciprocity back. And when I don't get it, I have to label myself from that, because I've treated them so good. I've put in so much effort and they're still blasting me with this stuff. And it comes down to, not everybody's like you. Not everybody is not everybody wants to be productive. Not everybody has the same passion for the job that you might have. Not everybody has certain goals for the future that you might have. So they're coming from a different spot, and that can seem to us to be negative because they're not the same kind of enthusiastic that we are. Now, there are plenty of other people who will argue with you about the color of the sky simply because they find some sense of enjoyment in being that person. And these skills still work on them. But here again, Troy's course caviar, that is tantamount to start any conversation with somebody like that, because you want to remain curious. You want to accept that you're going to be attacked in some form or another. And we know that being attacked, people attack for one of three reasons. They're under a lot of pressure on their side, or they have a lot of stress on their side. They don't feel like they're heard or understood, or they're manipulative and it's worked for them in the past. It's given them power in the past. And I've seen people with that personality where they have a project or something's going on and they don't want to be part of it, or they don't want it to work. So they will act that way to frustrate you out of the room. That's why self-labeling is so important. They will make unreasonable demands. They will argue about stuff that is horribly clear that you've done before. They will argue things that are meant to trigger you. And the reason they do is they want you to throw your hands up and do it all yourself. They don't want any part of it. So they want you to say, you know what, just forget it. I'll take care of it. And so that goes back to Troy's point, the why behind the behavior. Mm-hmm. Why are they acting like this? And there are people, like I said, they've manipulated. It's worked for them in the past. So they try it out on every conversation because it gets them out of work. They get paid the same. And it can be frustrating. So keep that in mind. I talked about burnout earlier, and that's another thing that I think sometimes we dismiss as we look at especially senior people sometimes, and we go, you know, he's retired on duty. He doesn't want to do any of that stuff. And, you know, I'm not going to give him any projects because it's just going to be an argument. He's mad about everything. He always thinks he knows better. He's a dinosaur. He doesn't want to change. That's the person that these skills work the best on, because that's the person who feels like he's being ignored. He started out his career given all these great, having all these great ideas that maybe didn't get used or got shot down. He tried and tried and tried, or she tried and tried and tried. And now they're just at a point where they're like, why even bother? Because, you know, nothing's going to change. They're the perfect kind of person when they fall into that pattern of negativity. They're the perfect kind of person to pull out with these black swan skills, because they make them feel so good that somebody's actually listening. And you don't have to solve the problem. You just have to know the problem exists. And they're so happy that somebody listened to them, didn't judge them, didn't say, some, you know, great piece of advice like we always got, we can't tell them that, meaning the upper management, or yeah, that's, you know, that's just, it is what it is. If I had a nickel for every time I heard when I asked somebody how they were doing, they were said living the dream, I'd be a rich man. And that's the kind of person that's in that kind of pattern of negativity oftentimes, where they're not feeling real good, but they are just defeated in their ability to make anything change. So give them that grace, give them that demonstration of tactical empathy. And you don't have to agree with them. You don't even have to like them. But when you do that, you're making everything easier for both of you going forward. And you can
turn they might even be a wealth of information. The ones that are burnt out, they might just, once you open up that relationship, they might be a great relationship to have if you can get past that surface of negativity.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what I was thinking in that moment. This is why I like that we work as a team, because I was saying, I'm listening to what you're saying. I said, how do we break through with them? Ego label. You probably forgotten more than I'll ever remember. And you know, and they like that because then they saying you're identifying that you're recognizing that they have a wealth of knowledge. And now they're going to want to impart that on you because you've demonstrated to them that you can see that they're a valued asset that's not being utilized. And they'll gravitate towards you. And when they start to gravitate towards you, they're going to tell you things that nobody else know. And all of a sudden you become smarter and they like you. And now you become six times more like than anybody else. And everybody else in the room is like, how did Marcella get him to talk? He don't like anybody, you know, mm-hmm. And they don't get it. But it's you taking the time to listen, you know, show him that you demonstrate your understanding of his position, and he feel heard and understood. And when they do that, all of a sudden they start to like you, and nobody else can figure out what you just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I think that those kinds of people, these skills work best on. Because nobody else is doing it for them. And don't forget, everybody, don't forget your accusations audits. When you've got somebody or a group of somebodies that is in a negative pattern, and it just seems like you're always running into the same wall, a lot of times we think about that and we say, that's it. I'm going in there and they're going to do what I tell them, or I'll just do it myself because they're dragging their feet. Try out some accusations audits. And Troy's, you could turn that into an accusations audit. I know you've forgotten more about this than I'll ever learn. You have been doing this for a long time. You probably get tired of me and people like me coming around asking questions. You're probably, and that's a good one, because in some circumstances, like Marcella was talking about, nobody approaches them. They don't get any, they don't get anybody trying to break through. So when you do, and you do a good accusations audit, like you probably get so tired of people asking, rookies like me or new guys like me asking you stupid questions. If they haven't been asked questions and one of their negatives is they don't get asked questions, they might correct you on that, or they might kind of take pity on you because you've so misread that they're feeling like nobody ever asked me anything. And you come up and you say, you probably get tired of people picking your brain all the time. And their thought is, I'd love for somebody to finally listen to what I have to say and take my advice on this. And so it's going to make them feel good. It's going to make them like you. We know that you're more likely to do business with somebody or collaborate with somebody that you like. And again, remember that when you're doing this stuff, the bonding mainly takes place from them to you. So you're not going to get into a situation where both of you pass over into being negative. Their bond with you is because they like you. And you might not trust them. You might not like them very much. You might have some ill will toward them because of something that's happened in the past regarding them being either lazy or just disconnected from the team. This isn't about being nice to somebody. This is about them feeling like you're being nice to them. And that's how they will take tactical empathy. You just have to stay in the moment and realize that you don't have to agree with them. You don't have to like them. You don't necessarily have to be nice to them, even if that's how they feel that they're being treated. But you can run into a pattern of negativity and try to fight against it and try to turn it with questions or with demands or with arguments. You can argue logic to negativity for the rest of your life and you will get no further because it is an emotion. So when you're using these skills on somebody and they start bonding to you, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Let them do that. And if other people on your team say, you know, I can't even talk to that guy. I don't know how you do it. perfect. That's fine with me. I'd rather be the guy that everybody can share with, that everybody can collaborate with, because that's going to make me more successful. And in the end, that's what we're here for, is to make you more successful. It feels really good to argue negativity, to try to bash negativity and try to fight your way through it. But it is a ineffective and unfortunate quest that is probably going to leave you tired and dirty and ragged. And you'll be that negative, burned out person in a few months trying to work things that way.
You know, people sometimes voice their negativity and sometimes they don't. We've all been, as hostage negotiators in that field, having somebody in the room, and usually it was the supervisor that had the stripes and they wanted to take charge of the room when we're asking everybody their feelings or thoughts. And you always have that one or two negotiators that never have anything to say. And you're like, you know, hey, anybody got some ideas? And they don't have anything to say and they have the most information. But because they've been treated, looked upon, looked over, and they don't feel like they're being heard or they don't or seen. So they just sit there and you can see their body language like, no, I'm not going to say nothing because don't nobody want to hear from me anyhow. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why whenever I was doing that, I always pointed to each person in the room. And if they said, oh, I don't have nothing, I said, no, give me something. You heard something. And get them to open up. And then they say something and then it open up, sparks other conversation with everybody else. Oh yeah, that did happen. And then they start to feel better. But sometimes we think that negativity is somebody's verbalizing it or vocalizing it. And sometimes it's silent.
Mm-hmm. Which is good to think about for kids too. How often do you have a kid come in at like 16 saying, nothing, everything's fine? So reading body language is important, and labeling that negativity. Actually, that answers Chris Antonio had a question that said, is the reason he's negative because he doesn't feel seen or heard, or heard or seen? So that's, we don't know until we label it, but labeling it helps us learn the answer. And a lot of times people are negative because they've given up on the thought of being seen or heard. And so they're just annoyed with the situation or the dynamic that they're dealt with, that they're in.
Absolutely. And both of you saying that about sometimes negative being silence. Remember too, no matter your position, it might be that person who won't talk that will also let you walk right over the edge of a cliff without saying a word, because nobody ever listens to them anyway. This is why you want to kind of attack negativity using these skills and get yourself into a position where when somebody like that, they may not say much to anybody on the team, but when they see you doing something that you have the relationship that they can stop you and say, if you do that, this happened before. And it's something you didn't know about. You could have walked right into an open pit and they would have just let you fall because you never took the time to listen to them. Worse if you're assertive with them. I had a bunch of bosses that were over assertive and I would see things coming that they really should try to dodge, and I wouldn't say a word to them because of the way they treated me or the way I perceived that they treated me. So when you're met with these patterns of negativity, if they present with silence, that should be raising flags for you. That should be almost screaming in that silence that if they're not talking, there's something wrong. And the worst thing you can do is say, oh, I'll give them a day or two and just see if they snap out of it. It's probably something at home, or it's probably, maybe they just feel bad or whatever. If you ignore it and you don't hang a label on it right away, you are missing a lot of opportunity to get in the way of what might be a huge train wreck. So keep that in mind. I've had employees that were silent for a couple of days, and it was weird because in one particular case, he wasn't just a lot quieter than usual. he worked a lot harder than usual. He was in, he was buried in work all of a sudden. And I took it as a win. I'd finally got him motivated to do the work. And for 2 days he did that. And then everything blew up outside of work, because the reason that he had his personality had changed so rapidly was he was trying to ignore all of his problems by putting on his headphones and just working. And when ignoring his problems didn't work, it all blew up and we had a huge mess on our hands. So when you see those changes in somebody, if their normal pattern isn't negativity and they slip into a pattern of negativity, even if it's just an affect change like that, because that could go either way, but you have to stay curious. So make sure that you're labeling those things and getting out in front of those things. And that goes for whether you're a leader or a subordinate and your boss changes that way, give your boss the same thing. Try to figure out what's going on. It might be important to you. If your boss's behavior suddenly changes and you don't put a label on it, you might be missing, you know, some real big changes coming down that your boss isn't happy about or is worried about having to communicate to the team. Uncover that first. And the worst that you'll get is information that doesn't really pertain to you, but you'll get some reps in with the skills. So you win either way. But don't let that stuff pass, because if somebody isn't generally negative and they slip into that, that's worth noting right away. That's almost an emergency.
So Don and Marcella, what about if, you know, that person's been negative so many times that it's affecting you? Do you think that the person that's being affected now, do you think their fear kicks in of, I don't want to deal with them because he might say something that I don't like? So their fear kicks in, their fear of loss, or their fear of having to respond to something that they may not want to respond to kick in?
This is absolutely the fight we get with, or the pushback we get in a lot of our live events and a lot of our coaching clients, where you'll give them all the skills, you'll send them out into the wild, and they'll come back later and they'll say, well, you know, this was going on and that was going on, and they'll tell you what their label was, and their label was either a very surface label or kind of a label that didn't approach the negative, because as humans, we would rather avoid confrontation most of the time. So if we see something and we look at it and go, I can either A, start trying to demonstrate tactical empathy and genuine curiosity, which is going to get me into a conversation that is going to be work and it might be uncomfortable and awkward, or I could refill my coffee cup and just ignore any of this is going on. We have to be careful that we don't slip back into that pattern of, for lack of a better word, laziness, and that we do the work that we need to do to keep that relationship going, to keep that person solid. I don't know if I would say more so in a leadership situation. I would, but that might be a bias on my part, because that's where I saw the real issues, the almost negotiating with myself when I saw an affect change like that, thinking, I don't want to deal with that right now. I got my own things going on. I just won't get involved. And I had to overcome that stuff to do right by the other person.
Yeah, it's hard because we don't realize sometimes the reactions that we're giving when we're exhausted due to the negativity that we're getting. So it could be like, I don't want to deal with this today, or we could be angry back with them. I love, someone asked a question, what would the most easiest way to throw out a deep label instead of surface label? Well, when we're hesitant to engage with someone, we might start with the surface label because we're really not ready to think on a deeper level and get really curious. Start thinking to yourself, what in their world has caused this? It's almost in a way, not that it's sympathy, because it's not, but where did things change for them that they became this person that must not be fun for them? So you're kind of coming at it, like you say, Don, that you're looking at it, you're seeing a little bit of yourself in them. Well, if you see a little bit of yourself in them, where did things change? If Don's not going to react in this way, what happened for this person that is causing them to be so angry? Because it's usually you can be, I'm angry, or you're annoyed at the world. Well, what happened to make you that way? And a lot of times it's disappointment. It's a deeper emotion. So just get curious. And sometimes you have to just hit them with a couple labels before they tell you more information, enough information to get to those deeper dive labels.
Right. And yeah. the biggest thing, to Troy's point, is don't be scared of it. Don't be scared of those. Even if you do if you try a deep label of a latent emotion and you get it wrong, remember the urge to correct is irresistible. So they're going to do that for you. The attempt is more important than accuracy. And we say deep labels like there's some sort of like well-constructed, immaculate piece of, I had a guy in a very similar situation that works for me here. And he came, he walked in and I was a little irritated because of the way things had went. But my deep label, such as it was, it seems like you have a lot going on at home. Now, he hadn't said that. He looked on the surface to be kind of sad even, or defeated maybe, maybe a little frustration, but I didn't go with any of those. I said, it seems like you have a lot going on at home, and the floodgates opened. So when we say deeper labels, it might sound like some nifty, like, curiously constructed surgery. It's not. It's just going deeper into the why behind the behavior and labeling that and seeing if you're right. Sorry, Troy, I think I cut you off.
No. You know, it's funny because your colleague, Nate, you know, one of the newest members on the team, he was sitting in on a coaching session with me, and we were role playing, and the guy had to use, you know, labels and mirrors with him, and he started off with some surface stuff. And Nate's response was very surface. And then he heard something and he trusted his instincts. And he says, it feels like you're very patriotic. And when he just said something that simple, no matter, even though it was a role play, Nate's head went up and thought about it like, yeah. And he was so proud that somebody had could say what he was feeling. And it just opened the floodgates about, you know, some of the things he had done, why he felt a certain way. And that guy, all he had to do was sit back and listen at that point. It was such an interesting exercise that the person that was actually, you know, doing the labeling and stuff got so much out of it at that point. He said, now I understand what you guys mean, that I don't have to make a big drawn out label. I'm trying to do a label and I'm trying to explain it at the same time. And he said, I said, you heard? He says, it feels like you're very patriotic. Very few words, and it had such a huge impact on the other side.
Yep, absolutely. I don't want to let our time get away from us before I ask Gabby, do we have any questions?
Yes. So I'm not sure if you saw it in the chat from AM.
The label question?
Yes.
We just answered that.
Yeah, so we had some questions submitted in advance. So the first one was, can you share specific examples of how the three of you personally have turned negativity or adversity into an opportunity for growth, and how that led to improved negotiation outcomes or strengthen relationships?
I already shared that one in the workplace, as the deputy chief with the young, you know, patrolman that always had everything negative. And when I started giving him responsibility and he got a chance to see his successes, he couldn't wait to start coming to me with new stuff, new ideas. And I didn't say, hey, I don't have time to hear it. I always stopped and made time for him because I felt like that's helping him to grow. And now he's opening up more than he has ever opened up in the past.
So I happen to run a team, a real estate team, and real estate has a 75% failure rate in the first 5 years. So you're 75% likely to fall out of the industry. And with a newer agent, you can see it just, you're climbing a hill, and it feels like you're climbing a hill and you keep falling down that same mountain. And so as a team lead, I can just get to the task and dismiss the negativity, or I can address the negativity and identify how difficult the task is that they're dealing with and how disappointing it is for them to have conversations with clients who end up not buying at all. It's helpful for me as a team lead to apply tactical empathy in difficult scenarios like that, because it builds my team. It connects me to my team even further on it, not necessarily an immediate productive way, because we're not talking about the tasks that you have to do to close a deal, but you are identifying and listening to your team and the pressures that they're under. So I think, Don, you said something, it was a little while ago in this conversation, you said the person that's negative could stop you from falling off a cliff. That's a negotiation that you don't know you're in. And we can't overlook that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You remember, folks, you're in a negotiation anytime the words "I want" or "I need" are in your mind or the mind of a counterpart. And if what that other person looks at and says that person needs to know and he doesn't share it, that's a problem. Because I think too often we look at the Black Swan skills as negotiation techniques when in fact they are probably better described as a communication strategy or a communication technique. They are based on genuine curiosity. And as far as specific examples go with me, I think that what's led to my growth in everything is adopting the skills while beating it into my own brain about being curious, because I listen different now than I ever did before. I pick things out now that a few years ago would have passed right by me unnoticed. And I am genuinely curious because it's so much fun unlocking people. It's so much fun when you see something that nobody else has seen. And that goes back to being a cop. I know many discussions and studies where people, especially cops, will talk about how they're out in a crowd and they see a bulge under somebody's shirt and think it's a gun, and they hear a couple arguing and know what's going on over there, and they know where all the exits are. They're situationally aware. The growth that the Black Swan techniques have given me is I'm far more situationally aware in conversation. I'm far more situationally aware in my counterparts and what is going on with them. And that leads to growth everywhere. I make more money, I have better relationships, and I still fear the confrontation of negatives or bringing up a negative and thinking that maybe it's not that big of a deal and if I just ignore it, it'll go away. Everybody struggles with that, but I'm much better at it now, where I realize if I don't hit that right now and it is something, it's going to grow. It's going to become an absolute monster. So just adopting that, and I can't claim credit for it. It was Troy and Sandy and all of you guys that taught me this, but that mindset of genuine curiosity changes the way you view the world.
Yeah, you said you love it, which is, I think, I know all of the coaches here, we have a passion for this. It's about unlocking what the world looks like to other people. And when you start to see that, Neil deGrasse Tyson is an astrophysicist and he loves paint. And he said that he loves to look at art because it's his way of seeing what the world looks like to other people. Their paintings reflect their perception. For us, that's what this is. It's unlocking information so that we can understand people and what the world looks like to them. And it's fun to hear the passion behind that with all the coaches that we get to work with.
And I like how he said that he used what we consider a police term, situationally aware. And he tied it to communications. I said, man, that's real powerful. Because that's exactly what we're doing. And I've never heard it said like that before.
Well, I can resign now, because that'll be the only profound thing I'll probably ever say.
But hey, we'll take it. I'll put it on the wall.
I'll go out on top. This will be my last show, everybody. No. I was thinking about that the other day, about the situational awareness, how I view things completely different. And I did when I started on the job, and I'm sure everybody, no matter what your field is, you view the world differently. A surgeon hears things differently than other people. A carpenter sees structures and things differently than other people. So no matter what you're in, finance or insurance or whatever it is, you see the world differently than other people do. And sometimes you're surprised that they don't see what you see. But that's where your genuine curiosity comes in, because all those people that see the world differently, you will find value in learning how they see the world. You will find value in learning what their perspective is, because it's going to help you in everything you do.